WGN Radio, Ryan Burrow, our news director, is in the studio. He's the Olympic expert at this radio station. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, John. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for introducing us to Noelle Malkamaki, who is, at least has been, a DePaul student. She's from Decatur. Give us her story as we introduce her.
Well, actually, this is crazy. And I mean, she you guys will get into her story, but I actually met her at the Team USA Media Summit in New York. And
How long ago?
Was that in April, I want to say, And she was doing a little side table with some of the media, and we're all very interested in her story as an able-bodied college athlete, NCAA level for shot put, but she's going to be competing, or she's attempting to compete, in the Paralympics in Paris.
Welcome to the studio. How are you?
Thank you so much. I'm great. It's so exciting to be here.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because as he was telling your story, it did bring into light the sort of, no, I don't know if it's conflict or conundrum, but if you're able to compete against able-bodied women, boy, pardon me if my vocabulary isn't right on this, then what are you doing in the Paralympics? Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so for my entire life growing up in Central Illinois and playing all kinds of different sports, I only ever competed against other people in my classes, and there weren't that many people in my classes that were disabled, if any, besides me. So I grew up competing against just regular old athletes, and I found myself doing pretty well there. That's kind of where I felt comfortable. I loved playing sports. I played soccer and hockey and basketball and volleyball. And then I finally came across track and field, and it felt like something that I loved doing, and throwing against just regular old people felt totally fine, felt the same way in college. I was so grateful for the opportunity to compete at the collegiate level and push my career farther until my coach asked me if I'd ever considered the Paralympics. And I really never had, because I think I felt so comfortable in these spaces that were only, you know, dominated by able-bodied athletes, that I never even thought to question, you
but
know, what else might be there.
You would qualify as a disabled person because you have amniotic band syndrome, or were born with that, which means that your right arm is not fully formed. Describe for our listeners what your ability is there on the right side.
Yeah, so my right arm ends right about where your wrist would start, and that's all I've got over there. So I can't, you know, grasp any weights. It's hard, like when I played volleyball, to go up with a block is just with one hand. So there's really limited, you know, mobility and ability on that side, because I'm just missing a hand there, yeah.
So then, well, then it would seem to me like you would qualify for the Paralympics. Do other women in your event in the Paralympics have a similar configuration of their arms?
Yeah, so in the Paralympics, there are a bunch of different classifications. So I compete against women who have a similar disability to mine. And what that means for my classification is that the one arm is shorter than the other. So I compete against some women that have two hands, but the one arm is significantly shorter, or women who look, you know, just like me, or even have a shorter arm on that side with no hand.
But you have no advantage in the Paralympics, correct?
Right. Yeah. The only advantage there would be is, you know, if there's more length to my arm, that provides a different kind of block in the shot put. But all of us are in about the same boat as you can get.
But then if you are competing against fully abled persons, why wouldn't you be able to compete at the same level? Is it because part of the thrust you get on your left is dependent upon the strength or the length of your arm on the right?
Yeah, there's a lot of factors. That's the big one in the throw, is that because I don't have a hand on this side, it's harder for me to feel all the muscles, you know, all the way up into my bicep, into my shoulder, and my into my lats, and those kinds of things make it hard to finish the throw with a lot of strength. Throwing the opposite arm in the shot put allows for some kind of a reversal. There's a block there that propels your shot put farther. And then obviously in the weight room, I'm not able to lift as heavy as some of the other women would be, because I don't have a hand on that side.
Yeah, right. Are you left-handed naturally then?
I think so, just by growing up that way, having no other option. But when I played soccer, I was right-footed. So I think that's an interesting part of the puzzle, yeah.
So if your right arm was fully formed, you may have grown up to be a right-handed person.
I think that's probably what would have happened,
but
yeah.
You're throwing with your left.
Right.
Yet you don't feel any weakness in your left like I would. I'm not coordinated with my left hand. I presume you write fluidly and easily.
Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure. Because it's the only option that I ever had. You know, it kind of goes back to people ask me, how do you tie your shoes? And it's like, well, I've only ever had one hand to use, so it's not that hard to learn when that's all you have the opportunity to use.
How do you tie your shoes?
In a very different way than you probably do.
Do you lay them down one over the other, or do you use both hands?
I kind of use both hands, yeah. Having like one kind of small finger on the right side, I use that more than you might think. Like for typing, I use that a lot. So to tie the shoes, I can kind of wrap the laces around that and pull it sort of. You really have to see it, I think.
She has such a positive attitude. I think that's one thing that cuts through also.
Well, and people were drawn in the media to her story because she came to that moment where your DePaul coach, I believe, came up to you and said, "Hey, have you ever considered para?" And one of the great lines is she immediately came back, "Oh, I'm not that disabled." She never considered para as an option until just a few years ago, correct?
Yeah, that's right. When he brought it up to me at first, I was like, "Oh, that's funny." And he was like, "No, I'm totally serious." And I think that just nods to kind of the lack of information that is out there about the Paralympics. You know, I had no idea that I wouldn't be throwing against somebody who used a wheelchair because there are all these different classifications.
Oh, some people compete from a wheelchair, obviously.
Oh, for sure.
Even
yeah.
In your event in the shot put.
Yep, for sure.
But you were aware of the Paralympics, right?
I think so. Looking
like,
back,
girl,
it's so hard.
You should be in the Paralympics. You could be one of the best in the world.
Right. And I'm like, oh, I wish I'd known about this when I was in eighth grade when I first started throwing. But yeah, there was just so much I didn't know. And I think, again, I didn't see myself as disabled to get involved.
Maybe it's because you are so athletic. You're so fit. You look so strong.
Thank you. I presume
you were you successful in eighth grade in high school competing against non-Paralympic?
Yeah, for sure. Athletes? There were some really good throwers in my high school area, but by the time they graduated, then I kind of got to step into that being the best in like my county, and I have the school record at my high school, and that was super exciting stuff. So yeah, when you keep up so well with able-bodied athletes, you don't really look toward anything else.
And if I recall, you said that when you were recruited at DePaul, they didn't even know that you were missing a hand.
This is the story I've been told, and this didn't come to light until like a year ago. And I'm thinking, Coach Muir, why did you not tell me this sooner? I had no idea. I thought he knew that I had one hand, and he thought that, oh, she's pretty good for someone with one hand. So that was a little boost of confidence.
Wait a minute. Did the coach know that you only had one workable hand or not?
I don't think he knew until I came for a visit.
So then
I bet that was a shock.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, hello?
But it doesn't matter if you can... If you can do the job, then who cares if you have one, two, or three hands?
Right.
And then do you see yourself as kind of a role model or an inspiration, more than just an athlete, but something else that maybe other disabled people can aspire to?
Yeah, absolutely. I love being able to step into more of a spotlight through being an athlete. Having that platform is really exciting because I know there are so many kids that are disabled, and I look back and I think that If there was somebody who was in my same situation and I saw them on this national scale and I got to view that, it would have changed a lot of my own expectations for just how far I could take things, you know, even competing at the NCAA Division I level.
Noelle Malkomaki broke the world record in the women's shot put. It says F46. What does that mean?
F46 is my classification. So that's where you'd be an F46 if you're missing a hand or the arm is shorter than the other. Yeah.
So you are the very best in the world at this event for your category.
Yes.
You are going to throw in the Olympics after the, I hate the word regular. What? How do we do, what, help me with the vocabulary.
Yeah, I usually say able-bodied versus disabled.
Got it.
Yep.
And so you'll be in the disabled Olympics in Paris after the games, right?
Well, yeah, she's
right.
Got one more step, right? It's
I
coming
do.
Up here.
I do. I have Paralympic trials in Miramar in Florida at the end of July.
I like your chances, but we
Thank
won't
you.
Get ahead of ourselves here. Noelle Malkomaki, she's not from Hawaii. What kind of name is Noelle Malkomaki?
Malkomaki is Finnish, and it's my husband's last name, so that's not my family name.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
You are a 22-year-old Decatur native who competed in track for DePaul University as an able-bodied athlete.
Just graduated, by the way.
Yeah, so what's your... So I was wondering about that. What does a Olympian do for sustenance, for income? How do you live if you're training for games that don't pay necessarily?
Yeah, so track and field is especially unique. I think people hear professional athlete and they think it's real star-studded, and it's maybe not quite as crazy as you might think for track and field. You don't make as much money as you might anticipate. Luckily, like the Paralympic national team has a stipend that's kind of on a tiered system. So, you know, the better athletes get a higher amount of money. But it's not, I wouldn't say it's enough to live on your own. Luckily, I'm married and my husband has a stable job, which is a huge benefit to me that not all athletes have. So it's a little bit easier for me to chase my dreams.
Will you get money in the games if you medal?
Yes, I will. Yep. The prize money for Olympians and Paralympians is actually the same now. I think last quad was the first time that that's been true, but yes.
And then you also get a stipend just to help you with expenses while you're training.
Exactly, training expenses and stuff like that.
Are there endorsement deals for a Paralympian?
Yeah, for sure. I think they're fewer and farther between than for able-bodied athletes, but I have some friends on the national team that have endorsements, brand deals, sponsorships, and that's definitely the goal. I think being fresh off of being a collegiate athlete, that wasn't on my mind as much because I was still trying to finish out my eligibility, my classes, and now as I transition into being a professional athlete, those are definitely the next steps because this needs to be a livable option.
I don't know how it works, Ryan, but it would seem to me, given her personality and her ability, there should be at least NIL money or something like
that. Well, and that's fairly new for a lot of these athletes who've been so committed for a while. All of a sudden, this money becomes available and they haven't thought about it, you know, and it's like all of a sudden, oh, I could be making money by having camps
You should think about it.
Thank you.
Having camps or maybe, you know, getting in with, a group or an organization locally and, you know, doing some kind of promotional events. It's becoming new. It's becoming more and more thought about. But for people, I mean, I don't think NIL money when you started college was even an option. So
yeah.
Come senior year later on, you know, all of a sudden you're kind of behind the ball, whereas the new high schoolers who are going into college are thinking about it a little more.
For sure. It changed the terrain a lot. And when I came in my first 3 years had nothing to do with that. It's like, oh, what even is this? How do you do this? Yeah, it's different.
But you do see integrated into commercials more for Gatorade or Nike or in TV shows and movies. There are more and more disabled people who are sort of, you know, spokespersons or influencers or just in commercials for those products. I would hope that for you. Or
we got to get you that Toyota money.
Please,
Toyota and that Delta money, because they're already
absolutely
featuring all those athletes, Olympic and para.
Is that what I've been seeing?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, they do a good job. I've noticed, especially as I've gotten involved, just there is more and more exposure for disabled athletes and disabled individuals. I think I'm looking at just being patient and waiting till I can officially call myself a Paralympian after I hopefully qualify for the games next month, and I think that opens up a lot of doors.
Qualifying helps and gold medals help.
Absolutely.
I'm just telling you that right
goal.
Now.
And you still have to do that, even though you're the world record holder in your event, the women's shot put, you still have to qualify for the U.S. Olympic team.
I do, yes. So I'll go down to Miramar and I have to throw a certain percentage of the A standard for my event in order to be in that pool of athletes that will be chosen.
I see. And then it's not just athletes from around the world, right?
Yeah. So the United States team will just pick from United States athletes.
I understand
so
that,
they get.
But then at the Paralympics, though, you'll be competing against people from Spain
that's
and
right.
Sweden. And who's out there that you fear or that you know is going to give you a run?
Yeah. So at Worlds last year and again this year, the first, second, and third were in the same order. So there is a thrower from New Zealand and a thrower from Japan who get second and third at the competitions that I've been to. And those would be the people I would be looking toward to make sure that I'm far enough ahead of.
And who gets first, Noelle?
That would be me.
Ah.
Is it close in the previous competitions?
Close is a relative term. I think I tend to be ahead by a pretty reasonable margin that allows me to be comfortable taking some more training risks and, you know, hopefully this will pay off. I don't have to play as safe because I have a good amount of distance between me and second place typically.
Yeah, right. So it's going to be, are you looking for, you must be thrilled to be going to France and competing. What fun, huh?
Yeah, I'm super excited. And I was there last year for Worlds and it was just me and my coach then. But this year my family gets to come with me. So I've got my mom, dad, sister, grandparents, my husband's coming. It's going to be a big family affair and I'm really looking forward to that.
Just reading from a story on the U.S. Paralympics website, the Decatur, Illinois native whose right hand never developed due to amniotic band syndrome began throwing in middle school, earned a scholarship to DePaul University in Chicago. 2 years into her NCAA career, her coach brought up the Paralympics. That's still just kind of a remarkable thing. But it says something, too, about how a disabled person, quote unquote, does not need to be defined by that. You didn't even think of yourself in that capacity.
Yeah, it's such an interesting part of identity. And that's something that I've really had to work through in the last year. I mean, going from the world stage in France last year and doing so well and then coming back to DePaul. And it's like, oh, man, I'm not the best one on the team even.
It's kind of a reverse thing. I would imagine that some people with disabilities want the world to see them as an able-bodied person. You felt you were always an able-bodied person who needed to get your head around that word. Was that kind of an emotional leap for you, and what was that like?
Absolutely. It's been the biggest thing I've gone through in the last year, and I talk about this with my therapist all the time because it is such a big part of who I am now. I mean, I'm getting to build a career essentially off of being a skilled disabled athlete, so I have to come to terms with that part of myself and feel like I belong here when I spent so many years not necessarily ignoring it, but not even considering it.
I wonder what then the earning future is for you, not to talk about money necessarily, but I mean, can you have a professional career as a shot putter?
You can, yeah. I mean, like I said, there's not as much money there as there would be for a football player, and especially not for a disabled thrower necessarily, but professional athletes have a lot of opportunity if you know the right people and, you know, you put on a good show at meets. It's possible to make a career out of this. I think it's just a little less common than you might see among able-bodied athletes.
Our time is up. Any last thing, Ryan, we need to touch on?
I just wanted to know, did you compete in the Big East tournament?
I did. I competed at Big East Conference. It went pretty well. I threw about as well as I did the year before, and I think I ended up placing fifth. So
amongst
that was exciting.
Able-bodied athletes.
That's right, yes.
Wow. Well, any last words of wisdom or things you want our listeners to know?
Yeah, just to make sure you tune into the Paralympics. I know that the Olympics last a long time and you might not want to look at more track and field, but there are a lot of great things to be offered from disabled athletes, especially in track and field. So make sure you're tuning in.
And they're going to be showing a lot of the Paralympics on Peacock and NBC this year. So you're going to be exposed to it a lot more than we have in previous years.
Noel Malkamaki from Decatur and DePaul and Chicago, good luck and thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.